Welcome back to Math Eye with Mike. Today, we're diving into one of the most intriguing questions in AI right now. Can tiny models actually think like much larger ones, or is it just a clever illusion?
That's a fascinating area, especially as we push for more capable and efficient AI systems. This isn't just about making models smaller. It's about understanding if we can truly imbue them with complex reasoning abilities.
Right. So we're going to explore some groundbreaking research today on how we might achieve that. What's the core problem this paper, diversity-driven optimization elicits large model reasoning ability in VibeThinker 1.5b, is trying to solve?
Exactly. We've seen a huge shift recently, especially with chain of thought, where large language models aren't just giving answers, they're trying to think through problems. The goal here is to make these models better at complex reasoning tasks.
Okay, so it's about the process, not just the final output.
Precisely. Many research groups are trying to enhance this reasoning by making models generate more diverse solutions. Think of it like a brainstorming session. If you only come up with one idea, it might be good, but if you generate 10, one of them is probably great.
That's a great analogy. So how do they actually encourage that diversity in the model's thought process?
They propose a new framework called Spectrum to Signal. It has two main stages. The first is supervised fine-tuning, or SFT. Here, they really push the model to produce a wide spectrum of possible solutions.
Wait, so how do you measure or reward that spectrum of solutions?
Good question. Instead of optimizing for pass at one, which only checks the model's single most likely answer, they optimize for pass K.
Pass K? What does that mean?
It means the model gets rewarded if at least one of several sampled responses is correct. So the model isn't penalized for alternative or unconventional attempts. Instead, it is encouraged to generate a broader set of potential solutions.
Ah, I get it. So it's not about being right on the first try. It's about being able to find the right answer eventually, even if it takes a few attempts. That really pushes for creativity.
Exactly. It prevents the model from converging too quickly on a single, conservative path. It really opens up that reasoning space for exploration.
And how did they apply this in practice for the SFT phase?
For the mathematical domain, they divided it into four subdomains: algebra, geometry, calculus, and statistics. They then trained a separate model for each specific area.
Wow, so specialist models for each area.
Yes. During training, they monitored performance using PASS-K and selected the checkpoint that showed the highest diversity for each domain. Then, they merged these four specialist models into a single, unified SFT model.
And how did they merge them?
They used weight averaging. This is essentially a linear combination of all the model parameters, with each domain contributing equally. The result is one model that incorporates the reasoning strengths from all those subdomains.
Okay, so in short, the SFT stage is all about encouraging the model to explore many diverse ways to solve a problem. It's almost like teaching it to brainstorm effectively. And they do this by rewarding any correct answer among several attempts, not just the first one. Is that right?
That's a perfect summary. It's all about generating that initial spectrum of possibilities.
So once you have this wide spectrum of solutions, how do you find the right ones? How do you extract the signal from all that noise?
That's where the second stage, reinforcement learning, or RL, comes in. Its role is to identify and reinforce the reasoning trajectories that actually lead to correct answers.
So it's like sifting through all the brainstormed ideas to pick out the gold.
Exactly. To do this, they use a modified version of GRPO, which is a policy optimization algorithm. They call their extension MaxEnt Guided Policy Optimization, or MGPO.
And what makes MGPO special?
The key is that it focuses learning on questions where the model exhibits uncertainty. Think of a smart teacher who knows which questions will challenge a student just enough to help them learn, but aren't so hard they give up.
That's a great way to put it. So how does the model know it's uncertain?
They quantify it statistically. For each question, the model generates a number of samples, say G samples. Then they compute an empirical success rate, PC.
PC being the percentage of correct answers out of those G samples.
Precisely. If PC is close to 0.5, it means the model is maximally uncertain. It's basically guessing. It's equally likely to be right or wrong.
Ah, so it's not confident at all.
Right. To measure how far the model is from that state of maximal uncertainty, they use something called KL divergence. This gives them a learning weight, WME.
And what does that weight do?
This weight is high when PC is around 0.5. It's low if the model almost always fails or almost always succeeds. This means the gradient updates, which are how the model learns, focus primarily on mid-difficulty questions.
So, not too easy, not too hard. That's where the model has the most potential to learn efficiently.
Absolutely. By separating the diversity generation in SFT from this signal amplification in RL, they argue that even a relatively small model can achieve significantly improved reasoning performance.
Understanding. Okay, so to recap, the spectrum-to-signal framework is essentially a two-step process. First, you make the model explore lots of different solutions. Then, you have a smart way to figure out which of those solutions are actually good, focusing on where the model is most unsure. Is that the gist?
That's exactly it. It's a very clever way to optimize learning for reasoning.
This all sounds really promising for making smaller, smarter models. But I understand there was a less convincing part of the paper, especially regarding its evaluation. What was the issue there?
You hit on a really critical point. While the authors report improved pass at one scores, they actually computed them using a large number of samples in their evaluation. For math, it was 64 samples, for coding, 8, and for knowledge tasks, 16.
Wait, so when they say pass at 1, they're still checking if one of 64 attempts was correct, not just the very first attempt? That seems misleading.
It is. This means that if only one out of dozens of sampled attempts succeeded, it still counted as a pass at 1 success in their evaluation.
And why is that a problem?
The issue is that performance numbers for comparison models were cited from original papers. Those were typically done using greedy decoding or a single sample.
So their proposed model receives a substantial and unfair advantage in the reported pass at one scores because they're comparing apples to oranges.
Exactly. It makes it very difficult to truly assess the model's performance against existing benchmarks. While the methodology itself for training is innovative, the reported gains might be exaggerated due to this evaluation discrepancy.
That's a really important nuance to highlight. It shows that even with brilliant new approaches, we still need rigorous and consistent evaluation methods to truly understand progress.
Absolutely. It doesn't necessarily invalidate the core ideas of spectrum to signal, but it does mean we should take the reported numerical improvements with a grain of salt.
Understanding. So to sum up this last part, the approach itself is innovative. However, the way they measured pass at one for their model gave it an artificial boost compared to other models. We need to be cautious about comparing those numbers directly.
Precisely. Transparency in evaluation is key in scientific research.
This conversation really highlights the exciting but also complex challenges in AI research. It's not just about building smarter models. It's also about how we define and measure smart.
Absolutely. And it's a field that's constantly evolving, with new breakthroughs and new questions emerging all the time.
Engaging. Fascinating stuff. On a slightly different note, for those of you who are interested in the foundational history of AI, we also recently released an episode of Data Science Decoded about the legendary paper of Jay Hinton about backpropagation. So make sure to check that out, too.
A classic paper. Definitely worth a listen for anyone in the field.
Well, that's all the time we have for today on MathEI with Mike. Thank you so much for breaking down this complex topic for us.
My pleasure. Always great to be here.